First reading today is from Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Everything coming together for the good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, and gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. And the second reading is from Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. As they continued their travel, Jesus entered a village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master, hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in, interrupting them. "Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? Tell her to lend me a hand." The master said, "Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course and won't be taken from her." That concludes today's reading.
Brothers, sisters in Christ, the Apostle Paul wrote from a jail cell. His work was under attack by competitors. And after 20 years or so of hard traveling in the service of Christ, he was now tired, he was stressed out, and he would have welcomed some form of relief. However, his concern at this time was not so much about himself, but it went out to the early Christians in Philippi, who was in danger of persecution and was living under constant stress. And to them, he wrote as follows: "Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness will work you into God's most excellent harmonies." And it is these words, God's most excellent harmonies, that caught my attention, that bound my heart, and say, I simply have to study this and talk about this. Now and then you get just one of those big surprises in Scripture. Brings us to the question, very personal question, how's it going in your life? Are you often stressed out, tired, overwhelmed? Are you sometimes wondering how to deal with stress in your life? Now, how can one define stress? Well, we know that stress tends to visit us, especially when we're tired, when we're sick, when we're driving in crowded, fast-moving traffic, when we're late for an important meeting, or if we've taken on too many responsibilities. Every time when circumstances are out of our personal control, we feel stress. And when our basic needs are not being met and our safety is threatened, we tend to get anxious. Now, I want to tell you about this dear lady, a very busy woman, that went to her doctor with complaints of feeling totally run down. So, after a thorough examination, the doctor told her, "Lady, you're not run down, you're wound up." What is stress? Well, here is a simple, practical definition. Stress is the uncomfortable gap between how we would like our life to be and how it actually is. And if this gap is persistent, or even worse, if this gap is growing despite our efforts to reduce it, then our distress becomes dangerous. Life-threatening, dangerous. So, let me throw a few questions in your direction. You don't have to answer out loud. Have you ever asked, in a moment of desperation, where is all this going to end? Well, then the clever people will tell you that you are dealing with a stress symptom showing anxiety and fear. Have you ever discovered that you need to say, "Nothing that I try ever seems to work"? You hear the frustration? Depression? I'm on the verge of giving up. And even sometimes, have you said, "Now who's responsible for this situation?" Anger, another stress symptom. Have you sometimes, in the darkness of the night, wondered, "How much more can I take? Can anybody still help me? Will anybody help me?" Anxiety, stress. Have you ever said, "I feel helpless to stop this? It's out of my control. No one seems to care anymore"? Frustration, helplessness, depression. Now, a famous psychologist suggested that all dealing with constant stress should seriously ask a question to themselves. And some of you may want to ask this question, if need be, right here in church for yourself this morning. And the question is all this worth dying for? He states that all of us need to take a hard look at ourselves, our lifestyle, our relations, and then ask ourselves, what are the things that are stressing us out? And then we need to ask the question, okay, now I know all the stressful things in my life. Is it worth? Is it worth for me to give my life for it? Is it worth dying for? And this psychologist said, well, if the answer is yes, it's worth dying for. Please go ahead. Let no one stop you. However, if the answer is no, definitely not, it's not worth it, it's not worth my life, it's not worth my happiness, then it is time to do something about it. Now we need to know that we are not the first generation of people who are under lots of pressure, anxiety, stress. There were people uptight and anxious way back in the time of Jesus and the Apostle Paul as well. In fact, and this is a gem in Scripture in the New Testament, in our Gospel text, Jesus was visiting personal friends. You know, it's tough to think of Jesus that he was a normal person like us, that he had friends and that he was walking through the country, visiting places, and that he had friends in many places. And the Gospel tells us this incident where he visited two ladies that were very close to his heart, and they were good friends, Martha, Maria. And we heard this morning how he told Martha to slow down and to smell the flowers for a change. His words were, "Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing." Now, why was she stressing at that particular moment? Well, guys, if I was in the kitchen and I know Jesus was sitting in my little living room, I would have thrown the pots and pans everywhere in the stress. And we guess that that's exactly what was happening. She was in the midst and she wanted to impress Jesus, make him feel welcome, give him a good meal, because he seldom came visiting. Martha, Martha, stop. Stop fussing. I shouldn't be the reason of your stress. I'm visiting you. Simply follow me. Now, how do you deal with stress? How do you do it personally? It's interesting to think, because we have very many different ways of reacting. I know there was a certain woman who had this wonderful good habit to give her hard-working husband a cheerful welcome every time that he gets home from another trying day in his office. One day it was particularly difficult for her to sound cheerful, so she greeted him like this: "Guess what, dear? Of our 5 children, 4 of them didn't break an arm today." Many years ago, in quieter times, people seem to ask, "How can I prove my life? How can I move closer to God in this busy time that we're living in?" Many people are asking, "How can I get through just this day? How can I get through it?" Somebody said it so well. He said, "This is the age of the half-read page. It's the quick dash, the quick hash, and the mad dash. This is the age of the bright night with the nerves tight, and the plane hop with only a brief stop. This is the age of the lamp tan and the short span, the brain strain and the heart pain, the cat naps till the spring snaps, and the fun is done. Today we deal more with diseases of choice than with diseases of chance. And we know that half of all our illnesses are preventable. We know what causes them and how people can behave differently to prevent them." Now back to the Bible. Martha was working feverishly. Mary was working feverishly as well. However, the moment when Jesus arrived, all of Mary's activities stopped short. And she visits with him. She listens to him. But meanwhile, Martha is still busy in the kitchen. When is that girl talking to Jesus going to get in here and help me finish up? She huffs. The pots, pans, and slamming doors getting louder and louder. And even that doesn't work. Therefore, finally, listen to the stress. Martha cannot stand it anymore. She bursts into the living room, hands on her hips, her face flushed with anger as she blurts out these words to Jesus. Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? Tell her to lend me a hand. Oh, now she's mad at Jesus. Bible says so. Martha, Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and you're getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing, Martha, is essential and your sister Mary has already chosen it. Mary has chosen to be in the presence of Jesus. A certain woman was carrying a heavy suitcase, and she managed to catch a crowded bus. And when she was safely aboard, the conductor noticed that she stood in the aisle, clinging to her heavy suitcase. Finally, he said to her, "Lady, you can put that suitcase down now. The bus will carry it for you." That's exactly what Mary did. She chose to entrust herself to Jesus. And Mary knew exactly when it was time to stop all the huffing, all the puffing of her life, and went to seek solace in the presence of the Lord. I have nothing against Martha. I feel very sorry for her. But I must point out that Mary understood what difference Jesus could make. And we know that he never disappointed her, not even once. Ancient gospel, does it still have meaning for us as Christians, times like these? Is it worth dying for, folks? Is it worth it? Of course not, of course not. No matter what, your life and my life is worth living. No matter what the provocation or the incentive, you do not have to kill yourself to deal with it. It is not worth dying for. I know. I don't announce all the interviews that I have. I don't talk about it. But I know there are people here present who are at the end of the rope, who are so overburdened that life has become very difficult for them. Time to give your faith a chance. Time to reach out and touch the face of God. Time to take a deep breath and to enter into God's presence with joy. Martha, Martha, you are fussing far too much. You're getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing is essential. Mary has chosen it. That's the main course. That won't be taken away from you. Mary has chosen to be in the presence of God. Are you under stress? Listen then and live. Your faith can make you whole again. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. My friends in Melanesia, the islanders still pray a very ancient prayer. So let their prayer be our closing prayer today. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? O Jesus, be the canoe that holds me up in the sea of life. be the rudder that keeps me in the straight road. Be the outrigger that supports me in times of temptation. And let your Spirit be my sail that carries me through each day. Keep my body strong, O God, so I can paddle steadfastly on in the voyage of life. Amen.